You're going back a ways on that one, too. I like that. God, what year was this? Early 2000s?
Yeah, that's a good
maybe late,
might
90s,
be late 90s.
Late 90s,
honestly, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like 90, I want to say 6.
I like that. That's a good way to get into this final hour here. Third and final hour.
I try to start them off each hour with a little, little more, you know, bring the crowd back into it, get you pumped up.
I like the start of that song because at first it kind of sounds like you're in a little jazz club, and then you hear a record scratch. It's like, all right, maybe it's a little jazz fusion.
Mm-hmm.
And
a
then
house.
Just slam,
slam.
I like it. I like it. We've had a lot of fun today in these first 2 hours.
I try.
This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. Things we have covered today so far. Kansas knocking off number one Baylor down in Waco. The Big 12 in general. Top three teams in college basketball all losing. Or, you know, three of the four top teams in college basketball losing. We've talked Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder. Somebody was licking blood off one of the other boxers. That was weird. We've talked about a 42-year-old Zamboni driver who got into a game for the Carolina Panthers last night, an emergency guy, and got a win. I was going down my list here. We talked Chiefs with Richard Baldinger. Talked about free agents, Chris Jones, what they will do with Patrick Mahomes, the new collective bargaining agreement. We've hit... Oh, we talked golf.
I was going to say we talked our bad golf games.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses, music.
Mm-hmm.
Covered it all.
Is there longest running single, I guess, or one of the longest singles in American Pie.
Yeah. Man, we've had that. That's covered. That's a broad spectrum right there is what that is.
No James Bond this week.
I was thinking about that. In fact, I'll just hit it right now. Not specifically about James Bond. So I've been seeing these endless promos on TV for a new movie, Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford. That movie's been made like 7 times over the years. I mean, is there really a new spin on this?
I've never seen it.
Have a 78-year-old actor?
Is it also a book?
It is a book, yes.
Okay, that's what
no,
I thought.
No, the book is fantastic. I read it when I was a kid.
That's what I thought. I think I've read the book as a kid. Never seen the movie.
Well, there's only like 7 versions of it. It's like, what movie just came out? Little Women, aren't there? Isn't that made like 3 or 4 times?
A bunch of times.
Just, I mean, and I was bringing that up because, one, I don't need to see Harrison Ford and a dog hanging out in the Arctic or wherever, Alaska. Just not, and two, it's been done. It's been done to death. There's not really a new spin on this that I can think of. So I'll probably take a pass on it. But the reason, since you brought up James Bond, at least James Bond, even though you might have the same actor play James Bond in 6 or 7 or 8 different movies, each story is different. They're not remakes of each other. And they advance with technology and things like that.
Yeah, and they advance the fight scenes. It's no longer this karate chop, Sean Connery, like judo chop to the neck. And then like 2 seconds later, a punch is thrown. Yeah. And then a blah, you know, so it's...
Bam, blow.
Yeah, shebang.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there are remakes that are fine. For instance, I love the original Ocean's 11 with the Rat Pack and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. That movie's terrific. I think the remakes with George Clooney and Brad Pitt are fantastic. Except for the second one they did. The second one was... Ugh.
Did you ever see Ocean's 8, the remake with the all-female cast?
I did not.
It was pretty interesting.
Was it?
I liked it.
Sometimes I fall victim to bad reviews.
Ah, yeah.
So that one was kind of panned.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like I want to waste my time with... If that many people think it's a bad movie, then I'll pass.
I want to get paid to review movies. You can write anything about them.
You can
still go
literally
see them.
You can literally write anything you want.
Yeah.
Just pull up your own website. There's Blake's Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure we could come up with a better name.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's...
Behind the scenes with Schneiders.
Schneiders Screen.
There you go. I never saw that Ghostbusters one either, the last one.
No, that I'm like you. I passed on that one.
Was that? Okay.
I didn't waste my time with it.
I had enough people a handful of people who saw it and said, no, this is awful.
Yeah, no. I was a fan of the originals, just like I'm sure you were.
Yeah.
So. I didn't want to ruin the memories that I do have.
Right.
So
the original Ghostbusters, by the way, Jed Marshall, huge fan.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Ghostbusters 2 was okay. Wasn't fantastic. Kind of felt like they were rehashing some stuff there, but okay. So there you go. We threw in a movie review. And I got a review of a commercial for a cable company later, too. I'll tell you about.
There you go. Nobody can say we don't give you everything on
no,
this show.
No, today has been a potpourri.
You're welcome, Kansas City.
That's right. Send the thank you cards anytime you're ready. All right, so we have not talked any Royals baseball yet, so we'll do that now. Good crew that went to Arizona this past week. Todd Lebo, Soren Petro, and Allie Trost. We were trying to get Allie on the show today, but she's had some car issues, so she's trying to get that fixed. So what we'll do is I'm going to play a couple of interviews that our team did out in Arizona this week as we get ready for baseball season. By the way, not only is their spring training games officially started, you know Sporting KC starts this weekend? Are you ready for that?
I'm ready for that. I've only ever been to one sporting game, and it was a blast.
Playing Vancouver Saturday in Vancouver. So that's like Western Canada. It's a ways out there.
It's a long trip.
And it'll be 9:30 at night, so it's the late game. And it's on ESPN Plus. I'm still struggling with that.
Do you have ESPN Plus?
I don't. And the reason is it's purely based on principle. Because I already pay a decent-sized cable bill. And now ESPN's coming back for more money. ESPN is the most expensive channel on cable. When you get your bill, I'm going to round this up. Say your bill is $150. The biggest chunk of that goes to ESPN. It's like $7 per customer, $8 per customer. So now you want to come back and drop another $5 a month on me? I'm not past it yet. I may do that because I think I'm going to cut the cord here soon. I've been talking about that for 3 years, but it's kind of time.
I'm sure it's different between me being a millennial. And,
it is.
And because we don't actually watch as much TV as we do. If we have apartments or anything, we pretty much just get Netflix.
Right.
And you can stream things on
Netflix.
YouTube and all that. We don't pay for the cable. So then I bought ESPN Plus so I could. I bought ESPN Plus almost specifically so I could watch UFC.
Okay.
Because they stream UFC now on ESPN Plus, which is why I bought it. But it's cool.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Yeah,
just not yet.
Yeah, no,
just not yet.
Yeah, if you already have ESPN, it's not that much of a plus.
No. So Sporting in Vancouver Saturday, I just can't believe it's here already. But they're back from Arizona, so looking forward to the season starting. All right, speaking of Arizona, that's where the Royals are. And earlier this week, Soren Petro sat down and had a conversation with new manager Mike Matheny. And what I found interesting about it, and I've been to one or two press conferences with Mike Matheny. I think he's brutally honest about how he's had to evolve to become better as a manager. He took analytics classes, so learned some things while he's with the Cardinals. I've never had a losing season with the Cardinals, but had to learn some things and evolve a little bit. So here is Soren Petro and his conversation with new Royals manager Mike Matheny.
Ryan O'Hearn, how much does he have the ability to take this offense to a different level from an offense that was already pretty strong?
Yeah, I just think, and he'll be the first one to tell you, he believes that he's a...
Ryan
O'Hearn. We pulled up a press conference with Mike Matheny.
let me...
Did you grab the wrong thing?
I might have grabbed the wrong thing. I've got the interviews with him that that they did.
Okay.
Let me.
Hey, it happens. Maybe if we didn't spend so much time talking about movies and Ghostbusters, we'd have it figured out. That's part of it. I know it's there somewhere. It ran on the best of yesterday, so we'll see if we can get that. But I thought it was interesting, and I asked Mike Matheny about this at FanFest. About evolving as a manager, and I said, it was well known, it wasn't a secret, but I just said, is it true you went and took these classes to better understand analytics? He said, yeah. He said, it's not just having a total commitment to being only analytics, it's how do we gather this information, how do we distill that information and use it to our advantage. Because it's not just as simple as handing somebody in the dugout a spreadsheet and here's what the numbers say, this is what you got to do. You got to understand how it works for your individual players or the makeup of your team, because maybe your team is different than the Yankees. The Yankees are different from the Mets. The Mets are different from the Angels. The Angels are different from the Mariners. So I'm sure that every team has its own way of not only embracing the analytics, but how to use them most effectively. And part of the thing that Mike Matheny talked about that I had not really thought of, and Dayton Moore talked about this a little bit too, is in this new era of the NBA, it kind of started there, of, you know, load management, making sure people are not burned out, having more players that play multiple positions. That can also be used to your advantage. That can also be used differently from how you've done things in the past. So you have a Hunter Dozier who can play multiple positions. You have a Whit Merrifield who can play multiple positions. When you have those guys, it's a huge advantage, and that's what they've been talking about, is how do we make the most of that for ourselves? You know, to give a guy a day off here and there where in the past you wouldn't do that. And teams, now that's part of the development process and part of a team's development process to get better at doing those sorts of things that will keep you healthier throughout the year, because it is an absolute grind. All right, Blake, we got it now? All right, here is Serenpetro's conversation with new Royals manager Mike Matheny.
Serenpetro with you as we are live in spring training, or in Surprise, Arizona, at Royals spring training. And a chance to talk to the manager of the Royals, Mike Matheny, is with us. Mike, how are you?
Doing great, Ren.
It's good to be getting to work, right? We talked, a couple of months ago, I think probably was the timeline. And,
3 months
ago.
Yeah.
All right, three months ago. What's going on between then and now? Like, how much of a manager's job has been done over the last 3 months? How much work actually went into the, before you ever actually even get a chance to work with your players?
Yeah, and I know it's 3 months because I've been counting down days. And a lot of these guys are still healing up, and, man, I've had a lot of time to think about this and prepare and tried not to invade their space, but it was really hard, so I invaded it anyhow. Went and spent time with guys and just wanted to hear, you know, their viewpoints, one, on this team, where they thought we were, some of the things that we might be able to do to help them, and also ask them to evaluate themselves a little bit. Tell us what you think of yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses. How can we help you get better? Because I think that's just going to be this ongoing theme through spring. Let's not waste this amount of time. There's significant time. Let's start chipping away at some of the things that we can do to make you individually better and us collectively better. So that was basically the view from the entire winter was how do we hear what they have to say, which then drives the message. What's this message? Are we good with what we've been doing and taking incremental steps? Or, you know, what we've been talking about all winter long, is it time for us to start figuring out how we got to win? And that's from their mouth. And
right.
And that's what I've been hoping for from day one, because I don't know how actually you can go out here and put on a major league uniform and that not being the constant undercurrent.
Is it time?
It is.
Is it time to go out
100%.
And measure this team? Its successes and failures will be based on the wins and losses. I know that's going to get heaped on you anyway. But realistically, the city knows.
Yeah.
What is transpiring here? But is it that time, or is that premature for a fan to measure you by wins and losses?
Well,
right now?
Whatever the fans hold us up to, I mean, they deserve. And we couldn't change their mind anyhow,
sure.
Right? Whatever they're going to expect, I want the people in that room to have higher expectation than what anybody could put on us. And I am an eternal optimist, and you just can't talk me off that, because I believe in the human spirit. I believe in watching people and groups of people do things beyond what anybody thought they could do. And as long as I know that continues to happen, we're going to push the throttle down. And it's not a reach to go in there. There are a lot of things that have to happen. So as I talk with this club, it's here's what I see. Here are facts. And one of those facts is sometimes you get so blinded by the hurt of a previous season that you forget to actually open your eyes to some of the things that are telling you that it's not as far away as you think. And to look in that room and realize, one, I think position player-wise, everybody's really comfortable with, man, there are people taking some huge steps, and there's still more in the tank for some of these players. The part that we've really got to focus on, and we're being very blunt in that clubhouse, is with our pitching. We've got to get to another level. There's some things that we got to work on, and we can't be giving away free bases. We can win, but we're going to do a lot of little things, right? How much do you in that locker room believe that? How much are we willing to do to make those little things? And it's a lot of just tedious but consistent work that's going to have to make those little things really important to help us be the kind of winning team.
You mentioned not giving away free bases. I mean, at a certain age, I remember talking, I think it was with Kevin Seitzer back in the day, about what age the A's, Moneyball, the Moneyball book said, their theory was that by the time you get done with high school, you either can or can't recognize the strike zone. Kevin Seitzer told me, no, I was in college. You know, he's the last guy to walk 100 times for this organization. And he said, no, I was really in college where it clicked for me. Is there a time you either are or are not a strike thrower and there's no going back? You either can or can't command the baseball in the strike zone and still not have, you know, solid contact, right? Anybody can just throw a meatball over there. But is there an age where you can't refine that anymore? You are what you are?
You know, I don't have any data for you to support my claim, but I believe it's an evolution. And I think you also start having to talk about, as we were talking maybe about Kyle Zimmer, taking that step from, okay, I'm healthy, now what do I do to take this really big stuff and consistently have it in the strike zone? And I believe those are normally, one, physical adjustments, and then they become mechanical adjustments that come along with. I don't think we could ever kind of stick a guy and say you are never going to be able to control the strike zone. I just don't, only because I'm watching it happen. Even in this camp, guys who last year were very inconsistent, they've done some things. What do you do? It goes hand in hand with what I just mentioned a few minutes ago about not giving away those free bases, which is controlling the running game. And this isn't for an inflated stolen base caught percentage. This is about bases turn into runs that turn into losses for us. How do we eliminate those bases, whether it's a walk or whether it's by first and thirds, whether it's by a stolen base? How do we start those little tedious things that make a big deal? But you start shortening up these guys, a lot of them, you shorten up some of their mechanics. A lot of times there's more, the more time they have in those mechanics, the more can go wrong. So less is more at times, not for everybody. You got to take their limbs. You got to take their natural slot and where the release point is. But I've watched that happen. Even this spring, guys are trying to quicken up. And what they're doing is they're losing worthless movement. That's extra time, but it's also extra room for things to go bad. And we're seeing better control of the strike zone.
We're talking to Mike Matheny here in the program. You've got a young, and we talked to you about this morning in the media session, about these young pitchers that are coming. But how important is it? You know, I was sat and chatted with Jackson Coar, and you know, I kind of was taken back to talking to Zach Greinke, you know, when he was coming up. And he hit the big leagues at 19 years old. And I remember when he got there, it was kind of like, here, save the day, Zach. And Zach's a different kind of guy, and I don't think he was ready for a whole franchise, a whole town of baseball fans to be like, okay, you know, he only pitches one out of every 5 days. Yet the town thought, okay, now we're a 100-game winner because here's Zach Greinke. And I think it really stunted his growth. It stunted his development because so much was put on his shoulders. You've got a wave. There's not just one guy. There's a number of guys. Jackson talked about how they're all kind of coming together, and I think that maybe does spread some of the burden around. But how important is it for Danny Duffy, Jacob Junis, Brad Keller, whoever it might be, and the veterans that have already been here, to be up here so that those guys don't have to have a fan base look at them and say, well, save the day, 22-year-old kid, 23-year-old kid. How important is that for them to be solid guys that you can count on every fifth day to take some of the heat off that young wave when it does get here?
Yeah, that's a solid statement. And we really need just leadership all the way through and the experiences they have, some of the veteran pitchers that you mentioned. Brad's a great example, who's very similar in age to some of these players that we're talking about. So how about throwing what we threw on him last year as being opening day starter? You're our guy. And then for him, after being a Rule 5, somebody didn't even keep him on the roster. We bring him over, and he does well through the bullpen, turns into a starter who then starts opening. That's a lot throwing on a kid. I mean, maybe not a 100-game expectation for the win of the team, but that's a lot throwing on. And I think there's that wisdom to be able to pass on because Brad has those qualities where he wants to teach. But what Ian brings and what Duffy brings, what Montgomery brings, and the experience, Jake Junis, I mean, all of them have something to pass on to this next group of players. My concern's always distractions, right? So much talk about these players. How are they going to handle those distractions? I think it says a lot about them. I'm concerned, too, about when this all starts to click, there's going to be expectations that are all of a sudden elevated, and then those can be distractions. This game's always going to be about that. When we get to the postseason, that's going to be our number one conversation. How do we eliminate the distractions from us putting our nose down and doing our job? And so with a Jackson Kowar or a Brady Singer or Bubich or Daniel Lynch or some of the other kids that are on the way, the conversation is we got to eliminate the distractions. You get up there and you do your job. And you watch these guys like they were out there today. Jackson threw the ball really well. I wanted him to know. I was standing back there. I want to watch. I want to see what you got. And because I think we have to practice pressure too, right? Every time we can put just another little element in there. And I don't mind all the attention. They've done something to get all this attention. They shouldn't mind it. What they need to mind, though, is that it doesn't change how they're going about their business and who they think they are and who they think they can be.
You mentioned watching them. Do you ever, have you ever, would you ever throw the gear on and catch them yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I always tell them I'm taking the Ferrari for a test drive. I love it. As long as my
Tony
body.
Tony Peña used to do that as well. He'd put it on.
I do. And just every once in a while. I wouldn't do it to one of these kids. That's too much too soon. But especially during the season, we've got a pitcher that shows up, and it's either going to be one of the bullpen catchers that catches them. I'm like, hey, I'd like to see this. Because it's a, as you know, it's a very unique look from behind. Right. You see just a little bit different. I love. Even though I watched a couple of guys pitch out here, I go up to the catcher, hey, this is what I saw. What'd you see? Because it's a different perspective.
Sure.
That's why that position is just so, so invaluable to us. It's an extra coach on the field and an extra set of educated eyes that can help us see some things we might not see on our own.
Is it different? You're taking over this team and in your stint with the Cardinals, you're kind of standing watch on a very fast – baseball is not a sport that changed quick. For like 140 years, maybe the first 40 years we were figuring out three balls to four, was it two strikes to three? I can't remember the way back rules,
three
right?
Three to four balls.
Three to four balls. And so we had some evolution there. But for 100 years, it was pretty static. It was just it. Now there's so many things that are moving quickly. The opener, right? Just how far you're going to go with your pitchers. I mean, I remember, starting pitchers when I got started covering this, and I'm old, but I'm not that old. You talk about pacing yourself, and now it seems like guys come up and they're almost max effort relievers. Let's see how far we can go. And teams are using them like that. Hey, if I get five from this guy, whether he's a starter or just following the opener, it's okay. How does that make it more difficult to develop pitching?
Well, I think it happens even before they get to us. I mean, you and I had never heard of a pitch count. What does that mean?
When
you're coming up, you just throw, and then someone tells you to stop. And I think we're getting smarter, and obviously technology has amped up everything that we're doing right now. And then the data that we have are things that we have to pay close attention to. And so how do we know that these guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, but we also know that the information that we're given says the mentality is right. You go out there, and you anticipate that you're going to finish what you started. That's a good mentality, but you also have to be realistic to understand a couple things. You guys haven't really been built up to those extended pitch counts. We're not going to hurt you. We got to protect you. I mean, you talk about Nolan Ryan throwing 170, 180 pitches. That stuff just doesn't – these guys, their arms aren't built to do that, and they're set up to get hurt. And that's where we're going to stop always, is how can we protect them first physically. Second part is we know from the data – when you get through that third time of the order, you against this particular opponent, our chances of success are going to go way down unless we make a move. And so it's this back and forth. There are going to be days we need you to roll, and you're going, and it all looks good, and we're going to go as far as you can go. But there are other days, and if guys can get to that mentality of, hey, this is a team perspective, and the team before me, I want the ball. But when that decision's made, we know there's a reason. We've got a why for everything we do, and we know that the why is giving us the best chance to win.
All right, we're talking to Mike Matheny here in the program. 26 on the roster, max of 13 for pitchers. Does that help or hurt the Royals organization?
I'd take 14 or 15 if they'd give them to me. But I love having enough arms down there that can, especially in the American League style. But to be able to have enough pitching early on, it probably doesn't mean as much, especially right at the beginning of the season. There's so many off days. We'll have to be careful to make sure that we keep everybody sharp. That's going to be a good test. But that's a good problem to have if our starters go long enough that we keep trying to finish up games early on. But to me, it's about the right number. I think that's what we need. And looking positionally, too, I like the core group that we have right now to look at. There's still some questions. There's still some competition. I think we're trying to go into this with an open frame of mind and a clean slate on each guy. Come in here, compete, prove that you own this job, and then keep doing that every single day. It's a great way to go about your business.
I think the Royals, and I know you weren't here, but in 15, 14 and 15, the Royals did such a great job of massaging the 40, of bringing the arms back and forth and giving them time. Now they've elongated how long you got to stay in the minor leagues. The Royals also did a great job in September when that roster expanded of having a Terrence Gore, having a weapon that they could really go out there, and they ran some great runs, and now they're limiting that as well. Only two additional guys when the rosters expand. Overall, I mean, is that good for small market baseball?
It could be, and I think it's good for – you have to know your market also. We know that the Kansas City Royals fans love that style, and you start looking at Kauffman Stadium. How do we need to play this game? We have to pitch really well. We have to defend really well, and there's a whole lot of field that we have to cover. And with that brings in the element of speed to be able to have that kind of defense like we want, and we all love the excitement. And unfortunately, the game of baseball has moved past that, and analytically they're telling us that that's a low percentage play, but not in high percentage situations. So
sure.
We are constantly on the hunt, bringing in a guy who's so passionate about it, like a Rusty Kuntz. They have been already breaking down pitchers for the season. Here's what we got on this guy. This is what we need to be looking at. And then looking at some of the young players we have in the system. And some of these guys can really run. I mean, you look at a couple guys who had over 50 bags last year in the minor league system that are pretty close. And how could we maybe implement some of that speed into our game? But I also love the Whit Merrifield stories, where you see a guy like Whit who lead the league in stolen bases like he did 2 years ago, very opportunistic. And what are they going to give us? Let's take whatever they give. Let's not give them a thing. I mean, that's kind of the mentality I think a team like ours has to have.
You mentioned the analytics part, and that, you know, over the long haul, hit the ball over the wall, right? You have an opportunity to add to last year's team, which obviously Jorge Soler shattered the club record for home runs in a season. But you have an opportunity to add in. It's not unrealistic to expect Salvador Perez and Mikel Franco to add 50 home runs to this lineup, just to put them in. Does this team have enough power? Is that lineup going to be the difference that you don't have maybe, you know, an inning, a full inning that you can take off worrying about the ball going over the wall now?
Yeah, I think bringing in Mikel Franco definitely gives us a little more depth, but I think you also have to see the progression. And I've talked about our first base for a while, but you just watch Ryan McBroom as well, and you took a look at that, maybe a tandem possibility with Ryan O'Hearn and Ryan McBroom. And people, I got the chance to see McBroom before he came over here. He's got some big power, and Ryan O'Hearn, nobody in baseball has seen what this kid can do yet. It's hard to put a max number on what that might look like. And then you add, obviously, the big piece is Salvi. And in so many ways, we could sit here and talk a long time about what he's going to bring to this club, whether it's behind the plate, whether it's offensively, or whether it's in that clubhouse. And all of those, I believe, will help us move in the right direction. But you got a Hunter Dozier. We're having a goal. This guy, how do we keep him on the field, right? How do we continue to give him a healthy year? We don't know what he's going to do. He just started to break out and prove to himself and everybody else. We haven't even begun to see Alberto Mondesi. We haven't seen what Mondesi can do offensively. I mean, we've seen some flashes of what he can do. And same goal. How do we keep this guy on the field all the way around that field? I mean, it's just potential to do some serious damage.
All right, that's a conversation from earlier this week with new Royals manager Mike Matheny. Thanks to Soren Petro for that. If you want to hear more of all the great spring training coverage from Sports Radio 810 WHB, stay tuned. It's 29 minutes from now. We'll have the best of Royal spring training here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, including a lengthy interview with general manager Dayton Moore. We will take a quick timeout here, and then when we come back, we'll hit a couple of more things, and then we'll get ready to hand it off to coverage of Royals baseball. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the operation. And we'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The 2020 incentives for GMC trucks keep getting better. At Reed GMC, take $15,000 off a new 2020 GMC SLT Sierra, not a loaner car. And Reed GMC will throw in your first 3 years of maintenance for free. That's right, $15,000 off a new non-loaner GMC SLT Sierra, and your first 3 years of maintenance are on us. Come see why more people in Kansas City are choosing Reed Buick GMC over the competition. Reed Buick GMC, near the airport in the Tiffany Springs Auto Mall.
Offer good with qualifying trading, lease, conquest, and financing with dealer-approved lender.
Give the gift of an authentic taste of Kansas City by sending your family and friends Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Joe's now ships nationwide, so you can send loved ones near and far some delicious, world-famous barbecue. Ribs, burnt ends, even a Z-Man kit. It's also great for corporate gifting. You can place your order online by visiting sendjoeskcbbq.com. Or if you'd like help putting together the perfect package, give them a call at 913-764-5637.
Dude, I'm seeing a sports medicine doctor.
Huh.
And guess who he is?
Who?
A Royals team physician. He's right there in the dugout.
Oh, no way. Awesome.
Whether you're an athlete or just active, the same experts who treat the Royals can treat you too. The University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Royals. Request an appointment at sportsmedicine.kansashealthsystem.com.
Family Leisure is having our Factory Direct sale. Looking forward to spring for patio furniture or a new hot tub? Family Leisure has factory incentives going on now. Do you want to start a new career? Family Leisure is growing and wants you to join our championship family. If you want to be the best, come join the best at Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. Now hiring for sales, service, warehouse, Bobcat operators, and more. Family Leisure, K-10 and Ridgeview in Olathe.
Awesome!
Join thousands of college basketball fans at Kansas City's Big 12 run on Saturday, March 14th at 8 a.m. Runners are encouraged to wear their school colors and can pick from 5K and 12K distance options, as well as a 1 mile race. You can also challenge yourself by doing a combo of the 1 mile race plus the 5K or 12K. Register today at Big12Run.com to get the great participation perks, which include a free Big 12 themed shirt, a cool finisher's medal, and a celebratory beer after the race. Celebrate college basketball at Kansas City's Big 12 run on March 14th. Union Broadcasting is a proud sponsor of the Big 12 run.
You can buy a car or you can buy a Subaru, and there's only one place to get yours. Experience the Olathe Subaru difference.
Being a mom, I made the switch to Subaru. I know I can trust it to get my busy family anywhere we need to go safely, especially with the EyeSight technology that now comes standard in all new models. And Olathe Subaru made the buying experience amazing.
Experience the Olathe Subaru difference. OlatheSubaru.com.
Tell you what, could have used some ballers last night in college basketball. Three of the top four teams all lost. Baylor, obviously, losing to Kansas, then in Waco. Gonzaga losing to BYU, who's a pretty good team. I saw highlights at the end of that game. And Gonzaga would nail a big shot to make it look like it was going to be close, and then BYU would just throw a hammer down. BYU, I don't want to play in the tournament. I wouldn't. And San Diego State went down. So we're going to have a shakeup in the polls on Monday. Kansas is going to go to number one, and then they'll have to shake out the rest of it. So we were listening to that conversation with Mike Matheny and some of the things are looking, and it's going to be... I don't want to say a long season because we all know it's not going to end with the Royals in the playoffs. I think it's going to be an interesting season. One, to see how Mike Matheny adjusts to managing in the American League and managing for the Kansas City Royals as opposed to the St. Louis Cardinals. It'll be interesting to see how he handles the young arms and how the organization handles the young arms. How long before you get a look at a Brady Singer or a Jackson Kowar or a Chris Bubich or a Daniel Lynch? I mean, they've got guys coming. I don't want to say it's just going to be a parade of great young arms. I don't know. They haven't played at this level yet. There's no way to know how they're going to react. But you heard the end of that conversation with Mike Matheny there saying You've got to manage that. You got to be careful with how you handle guys. Not just going to call somebody up and throw them out there at Yankee Stadium and expect them to go 8-9 innings. That's just not how the game is played today. But how the Royals manage those young arms, because we've had so many seasons. I mean, going back to like even the late 90s, early to mid 2000s, where, well, we've got a bunch of hitters. We got Carlos Beltran's up here, Mike Sweeney, Joe Randa. We've got good guys. We don't have any pitching. And then you'd have a couple of years where, well, we have decent pitching, but nobody can hit. Right now, the Royals are in a position where they have a couple of good hitters, but guys who are still trying to figure it out. And they've got a couple of good young pitchers, primarily Brad Keller. Danny Duffy's a veteran. Jacob Junis, another young player trying to figure it out. So how long do you wait for that parade? Well, we don't have a choice. You've got to wait for it. I wanted to hit this real quick, too, because we've, over the last couple of weekends, the Houston Astros have managed to make news almost every single day. Either because players from other teams are just hammering them. Cody Bellinger, probably the strongest comments. All of a sudden, Nick Markakis says they all deserve a beating. Mike Trout said what they did wasn't fair. Sean Manaea said what they did wasn't fair. I mean, any number of players have come out against it. And then the Astros counterpunch, like Carlos Correa telling people to shut the blank up. Don't think we're really in a position to do this. So how do you judge how much noise the Astros are going to get this year? Because they're going to get it. So in their spring training game yesterday down in Florida, they played the Nationals. They share a stadium there, so that's common practice in spring training. If you share a facility, you start off your season against them. And the Astros decided not to start any of their players who have any hints of being part of the cheating scandal. So they played a bunch of backups yesterday. And Max Scherzer, who was starting for the Nationals, said, well, I'm disappointed because this is spring training and they have a great lineup. I need to get ready to face the top talent in Major League Baseball. And it was kind of a wasted day. And they got rained out after two innings. But you had fans at the game, Nationals fans at the game, who were holding up signs saying the Houston asterisk and some other things. And the people running the stadium went and took their signs. Can't have these signs. Can't have it. But they continue to heckle them verbally. So another story that's come out, Kansas City's own Jeff Pass on ESPN.com, is that Josh Reddick put a picture of his son on social media doing something. I didn't see the picture because I don't follow Josh Reddick on Twitter or Instagram or anywhere else. And he said, I put up a picture of my kid. I think he's 5 years old. And somebody, some faceless, nameless, anonymous person commented back, I hope your kid gets cancer. Now, come on. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, how Twitter was fun last night during the Fury-Wilder fight because it actually got back to what kind of the way it was when I started on Twitter. It was like a sports bar. Everybody's got their fun little comments, analysis of the fight. I thought it was fun to be on Twitter last night. And then you throw in the 42-year-old hockey goalie who was a Zamboni driver, got into an NHL game and got a win, which was great. It was great to follow that on Twitter. But then you see crap like this, and it's like, look, I get it. The Astros are going to be heckled mercilessly all year. That's just the way it is. But the personal stuff, come on. What are we doing? If you follow, by the way, if you follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter, that is my name. My face is on that. I put my name and my face behind anything that I say. I'm responsible for anything that I say. I'm not going on Twitter as Basketball Jones 26 and calling somebody names and all that. And I probably said things that I would take back, but never anything like, I hope you get cancer or hope your kid gets cancer. And what are we doing here? Come on.
Well, and if that's not the most internet era thing to do, when you can just hide behind things now. And
right.
And I mean, yeah, you can, people used to get death threats and the nasty letters back in the day before they had, you know, internet. But I think internet has emboldened some of these bullies to just be like, you know what, I don't care. I can say whatever I want without ramifications. And it's degrading, man.
I don't get it.
That's how you know those people are sore losers.
Yes. And I don't get trolled all that often, but occasionally I do. I just kind of let it go because I don't care. I have more things to worry about than what somebody said. So, disappointed that stuff is still happening, and it probably will never stop. You've got people who are jerks. That's the way it is. The Astros are going to be in Kansas City May 4th, 5th, and 6th. So, right at the beginning of the second month of the season. I'll be curious to see how Royals fans react. I know the boos are coming. I'm fine with that. I mean, that's fine.
I was just about to say, I'm excited. I knowing how usually seeing how fans interact with other fans at Chiefs games, we're usually very hospitable.
Yeah.
Even when you're there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might get the occasional boo when you walk by, and then it's like a laugh, and it's like, well, hey, man, good luck today.
Right.
You know, it's never malicious. So, I'm sure Kansas City Royals fans, I mean, Kansas City in general is just a good sports town for mm-hmm. anybody that comes. So, I'll be interested to see how they get, you know, what the response will be.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think Royals fans will, in large part, boo, especially when the starting lineups are announced, and that's to be expected. But I certainly hope it doesn't become nasty like that. I don't think it will, but you can't account for everybody. That's the way it is. All right, so we have literally covered everything on the show today. College basketball. The NHL with a 42-year-old Zamboni driver actually getting onto the ice and playing goalie and getting a win. Royal spring training. Bill Self dancing after the game last night in Kansas beat Baylor. Talked boxing, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, which was a lot of fun. Astros, Harrison Ford movie, Guns N' Roses. I mean, there isn't much we haven't covered yet, even a little golf. I was going to ask you this. By the way, Jed Marshall did text me. Ghostbusters is his favorite movie of all time.
Oh, the new one?
So I think it's no. No.
You said you were about to ask me something?
Yeah, I was going to. Oh, I had this discussion before because I was going to just hit golf one last time because this tournament that's going on, this is the final day for the WGC Mexico Championship. And there's some interesting names at the top of the leaderboard. Bryson DeChambeau, who I kind of like. I don't know how you pick your favorite golfer other than you kind of like their attitude or the way they dress because you don't meet these guys in generally. I've met a few professional golfers because that's my job, but generally you don't get to meet these guys and see what they're really like. So I like Bryson DeChambeau. Fine with me. I like the fact that he's considered the mad scientist and his clubs are the same length, which hardly anybody does. I don't know if it works. I mean, it works for him. I wouldn't mind trying it. And I see Roy McIlroy is towards the top. I don't think Jed cares for Roy McIlroy. Sometimes people don't like that strut that he does when he makes a big putt. He's kind of got, shoulders back. Look at me. Rory McIlroy over here. I think it's fine.
I'm a big Ricky Fowler guy.
Love Ricky Fowler.
I just love his style, man.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So I
wish he would, you know, obviously I would root for him to try to be, to win more. But,
right.
I mean, obviously he's doing his best. But I'm a big Ricky Fowler guy.
I think my 13-year-old has the white Puma hat with the orange on it.
I have that same hat.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
It's
orange with the white, so maybe we have the reverse of each other. But it says right now Justin Thomas is leading.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of personality.
15 under.
He doesn't do much for me. He just doesn't have all that much personality. It's all right. John Rahm's up there towards the top, right?
From what I'm seeing.
I like watching John Rahm. Remember when he was at the, I always call it the Phoenix Open, whatever it's called now.
The Waste Management Open.
It's the old Phoenix Open. And they have that hole, the 16th hole where everybody's going crazy, 16th hole. And it's got like a stadium set up with like 3,000 people right on top of the hole.
It's like a scene out of Billy Madison.
Yeah. And they boo the golfers who don't land it right on the green.
Yeah.
And it's all good natured and fun. And guys have fun on that hole. And John Rahm, when he was just coming out of Arizona State, wore an Arizona State football jersey to play that hole. I thought that was fun. It was great. Patrick Reed, though, is towards the top.
Yeah, tied for second, 14 under. And John Rahm, to answer your question, is tied for fourth with 11 under.
There you go. What do we think of Patrick Reed? I think when Patrick Reed plays in the Ryder Cup, people like to watch him play because he's Captain America. He embraces all of it. He gets into the crowd, and it's kind of crazy. But did you hear the comments from Brooks Koepka this week?
I did not.
About Patrick Reed.
I did not.
Because golfers generally don't say anything about each other unless it's a compliment.
Yeah.
Enjoyed loving with playing with Dave today. Playing with Tiger was awesome, blah, blah, blah. Generally don't say a lot of negative things. So there was the incident last year, at the end of the year, where he was – and look, I don't know all the golf rules, okay? But there was a ball in the sand trap, and your club is not allowed to touch the sand.
Yes.
And he took a couple of practice backswings and appeared to be shoveling sand – backwards and building basically a little tee for his golf ball. And somebody asked Brooks Koepka this week about it. And Koepka's about as brutally honest as it gets. Like, he doesn't play a lot of tournaments. He's like, I don't like to play. I make my checks and I go home. He won a tournament last year and he said, wow, what'd you do to tune up for this? He goes, I didn't. I showed up. Might as well be brutally honest. So they asked him about Patrick Reed. They said, did you think he was cheating last year? And he goes, yeah, absolutely. 100% that's cheating, which will make for an interesting dynamic because they will be on the Ryder Cup team together. And then last year there was the blow-up after the Ryder Cup where Patrick Reed was calling out the coach and he paired me with the wrong teammate and some of the other guys on the team, they may have gotten into it on the airplane coming back home.
From what I misunderstood, I actually did hear that those statements being made. And from what I understand, people aren't the biggest fans of Patrick Reed.
And he doesn't hang out with the other players.
Yeah, I've heard a couple different stories of
he doesn't even like his own family.
Maybe he's just got a different kind of attitude than other people, or maybe he just doesn't like people. But apparently, he doesn't like people, and he might be a cheater.
He plays practice rounds by himself, which is for professional golfers is odd.
Yeah, usually you'd have your caddy with you so you can go over everything.
Well, I mean, he probably have his caddy, but doesn't play with other professionals.
Yeah, not like powwowing around on the course,
right? Which is normally what you do. Tiger's always got Phil always has his money game going earlier in the week where he just robs kids for thousands of dollars. I don't mean robs in a bad way. He just, hey, you want to, put $5,000 on the line here, $10,000 on the line? And he was playing with somebody a couple of years ago. Maybe it was Keegan Bradley. He was one of those guys. And he didn't bring his money to the golf course. And so they got done, and Phil had thrashed these kids. And he goes, hey, in case you're thinking about leaving, you owe me that $5,000 or that $10,000. He said, well, I don't have it with me. He goes, well, why did you play? He said, well, I figured I'd catch up with you another time. He goes, no, there's an ATM down the street. You're out of the game until you pay up. And so he was banned from their secret society game for like a month or something like that, and then he got to come back in. I'll have to look up and see who that was, but yeah, Phil's serious.
I didn't realize Phil was about that.
Oh, yeah.
About that money out here.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out, youngsters.
Straight cash, homie. And you better pay up, especially with the money these guys make. All right, we're coming up on our final time out here. Who knows what we'll cover next? I don't know. We'll just see. I still got some stuff on my notepad.
I'm hoping figure skating.
I don't know anything about that. I have absolutely zero interest in figure skating.
No? Wiffle ball?
I love wiffle ball. Probably not a great radio topic, though. Figure skating. Ugh. Not even in the Olympics. Sorry. If your kids do it, great. It's not my thing. More of an ice hockey. On that note, we will take a quick time out. I'll go to the penalty box for about 3 minutes, and then we'll come back and wrap things up before we hand it off to the Best of Royals Spring Training. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Man, if you grew up in the 80s, this guy was one of the biggest stars. Howard Jones had this wild hair, but he would sing songs like this. It's like you look at him and think, ah, he's a punk rocker. No. This is No One Is to Blame, correct? Oh, my God. Some of the hits. I was just looking down the list of all the big hits he had. Things Can Only Get Better, No One Is to Blame. What Is Love, new song. Life in One Day, that's fantastic. That's a good message. You can't live your life in one day. Kind of a cautionary tale.
I have never heard any of those songs.
Well, I didn't think you would. They're all from the 80s. Well, the reason I asked Blake to play this is because I like to do my 80s birthdays, which I get off the Twitter account Old School 80s, or 80s Old School, whatever it's called. And so I found Howard Jones' birthday today. He's 64. I actually thought he might be a little older than that because he was such a huge star in the 80s. Also with a birthday today, former Dallas Cowboys star Ed Tootall Jones, 69 years old. It's back when players had nicknames. I mean, like, it stuck. Like, if you bought his football card, it would say Ed Tootall Jones.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, cool names like that.
Yeah. Nobody calls him Ed Jones.
The Fridge.
It's Ed. The Fridge. Great. Fantastic. Also a birthday today. Great character actor in television in the 80s. If you watch the TV show Family Ties, the kid who played the neighbor, Skippy Handelman, whose real name is Mark Price, not the basketball player, the actor, is 52 today. He used to always try to get a date with Michael P. Keaton's sister, Mallory Keaton, who was played by Justine Bateman, sister of Jason Bateman. And if you grew up in the 80s and watched Family Ties, everybody had a crush on Mallory Keaton. Everybody had a crush on Mallory Keaton. It wasn't just Skippy Handelman next door. It was everybody who watched that show. So there's your little. I knew I'd find one more thing to get to the finish line. The 80s birthdays was the perfect thing to get there. So happy birthday to all those folks. All right, I want to thank everybody who came onto the show today. We let off hour number one at 9 o'clock with Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence, Kansas, talking about KU going on the road and beating number one Baylor 64-61, and with three of the top four teams losing yesterday. Baylor, Gonzaga, and San Diego State, KU will be the number one ranked team tomorrow when the new polls come out. So thank you to Kevin Romery for joining us in that first hour. And then we wrapped up our 10 o'clock hour with my good friend Richard Baldinger, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman. I said, how much do you think Mahomes is going to be in line for? You know, he's going to go up over that 30, 35 million. Is he going to get to 40? And he said, I think he gets to 50. I don't know about 50, but If we start talking north of 40, holy smokes.
I like the fact that he did bring up the whole we need to keep Chris Jones, because I've heard a lot of people kind of be like, well, we can always get... No. We can't always get somebody who's almost like Aaron Donald.
Yes.
Okay? That is not a thing. We need to keep Chris Jones and pay him.
I agree. If they can figure out how to do it, that would be ideal. So thank you to Kevin Romery. Thank you to Richard Baldinger. Thank you to Blake Schneiders for running the show today. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad K. Porter. And if you miss any part of the show, you can get it at 810WBHB.com when the podcasts go up. So that's it. We're out of time. I got nothing left to say. We covered it all. Literally covered it all. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Coming up next, the best of Royal Spring Training and then NBA Action 2, Celtics versus Lakers, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.